Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. I am so glad to be in the studio on tonight. I am excited. I am trusting God for everything that I need. I'm trusting God for everything that you need as you listen in on tonight. I thank God that each and every person that is listening in on tonight, it has been predestined from the foundation of the earth. It's not by your own power. It's not because you were told about it or you were forced to listen in. It's because today was the day, and now is the hour for a message that the Lord has for you. I know He's been dealing with me on some areas in my life, and processing the pain is truly about me going through my own life journey, and being willing to be transparent of what I'm going through so that you and others could hear my transparency in hopes that it could help you go through the journey of life that God has planned out for you. So again, I am excited to be on the show on tonight. I am excited for the contents of the show that God will be bringing forth, because tonight we are going to be talking about wounds. We're going to be talking about healing wounds from the inside out. We're going to be talking about those old wounds that we've had, whether we've had them from our time as a child, wounds that we get daily as adults, maybe wounds that we had in our adolescence. And I'm not talking about the wounds that we've gotten falling off of a bike or getting injured in sports. I'm talking about the mental and emotional wounds that we haven't allowed to heal. And you're okay. If those wounds haven't healed, that's okay, because we're going to find out tonight how can we get those wounds healed. We're going to find out tonight the different stages of the healing process. The healing process is not just the immediate. It's stages to it, and we're going to talk about the stages. There's actually stages in the natural, and I'm going to speak about the stages in the natural, but then I'm going to tie them in to the stages, to how that equates spiritually, because it's spiritual first, natural second. So we're going to talk about how we want to understand, and when I get into the physical part of this, I want you to understand that you need to understand this, because if you could get the grasp it in the physical sense, you'll be able to truly understand what's going on in the spiritual sense, and you could be on your road to recovery. You could understand that you may be exactly where you need to be in the healing process, or you may find out that, whoa, I'm so far off. Maybe I'm really have a wound that's infected, and in the spiritual sense, that infection is going to be spirits. It's going to be spirits such as anger and bitterness and hostility and rebellion. Those are going to be the spirits of infection in the spiritual sense. In the natural, of course, we see an infection, and infection is normally going to be indicated by oozing, pus, open wound, rawness, redness, swelling. Those might be all signs of infection in the natural. Again, in the spiritual, it's a different sign of infection. So we're going to get into this. I'm excited. If you know someone that's been going through life dealing with wounds that's not healed, how do you know that? Maybe because they're bitter, they're angry. Maybe they have substance abuse problems. You could tell maybe that they're in a spirit of rebellion, whatever. That would be the person that you may want to call right now or text and say, hey, I need you to plug into this show on tonight. You need to hear what's on, what the word is saying, what God is saying to his people, because we cannot do our kingdom assignments effectively when we are still oozing in wounds, when we're still oozing. And you know what that oozing is. All of us have been a physical hurt, a physical wound. So we know what the pus, the oozing is. It's nasty. It's infectious. It's infected. And we cannot do our kingdom assignment efficiently when we are still so wounded. So before we go further, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a song. I want to play this song, and as this song is playing, and the reason I'm playing this song is because many of us have been in evening traffic. We worked all day. Our hearts may be heavy. Our minds are preoccupied. We're thinking about 10,000 other things. And so I want to give us a time to woosah. I want to give us a time to just unwind and sit and listen to the words of this song. I don't own the rights to this song. I'm going to play this song because I just want us to relax. I want us to get in the right mindset. Oftentimes we'll walk into church. We walk into Bible study weekly. And we come in there and we're so tense, we're so overwhelmed, we're so overpowered by the cares of the world and what's going on in our personal life that we have to fight just to get into the presence. We have to fight to get the word, and many of us don't even get the word because we don't have enough of the fight in us to be able to be still and hear the word. So now that we could process the word of God, and then we could do it. So most of us is going in, and it's not penetrating because we worried about the roast on the stove, or we worried about what we're going to do after church, or what we got to do next week, or what bill has to be paid, and we can't concentrate. So I want you to be able to concentrate on tonight's show. So I'm going to play a song, and this song is a time for you to just relax, reflect. It's going to take about 4 minutes, and that's okay. That's going to give people time that are trying to call in. It's going to give them an opportunity to call in. So we're going to just play the song. And when the next voice you hear will be my voice, and we will go straight into tonight's teaching, healing wounds from the inside out. No more oozing.
I am a Christian. Do you know what that means? That means I'm far from perfect. Simply redeemed, bought with a purpose, purchased by love. It's not a form of religion, but a gift from above. I am not perfect, no, but I have been redeemed. I am a believer. Do you know what that means? That means I pledge my life, giving everything. I never knew that this was meant to be. I'm not perfect. Somebody paid the price for me. I offer up my life to him, and now I say again, I am not perfect. Oh, but I have been redeemed. Oh, yeah. I am your brother. Show you the way. We'll take this road together. Oh, take it day by day. Somehow I know we'll make this journey in. Make no mistake about it. You have been redeemed. While you were yet in your transgressions, somebody paid to set you free. So offer up your life to him, accept his love and we'll begin. Walk together, for we have been redeemed. Surely he will heal.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you on tonight. Father, I thank you for relaxing us with the words of that song that we are Christians. We are simply redeemed. We are not perfect. But Father God, we are following after you. So Father, I thank you for tonight's show. I thank you for each and every person that's going to be tuning in, whether they're tuning in live or that they'll be listening to the replay, Father God. I thank you. I thank you that you have a word for me. I thank you that you have a word for those listening in. I thank you, Father God, that tonight's show has a healing, that we no longer have to walk around with these open wounds, Father. We no longer have to walk around doing things, Father, that takes us out of character, doing things, Father God, that's not pleasing to you. I thank you, Father God, that it's by your grace. Hallelujah. It's by your grace and your mercy. And I say thank you, Lord. I thank you for the rhema word that will go forth on tonight. Father, healing the wounds from the inside out. Lord, we want to be healed. We want to be whole. We want to be walking according to your purpose, walking in assignment, walking in the steps that you've ordered for our lives, Father. We want to be kingdom builders, Father. We want to reflect you, Lord, that our words, our deeds, our actions, Father God, is a reflection of you. And so we just say thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the healing that will take place on tonight because of your word that you have for your people on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, we are back. We've had a nice song of worship, and it just got us into the right mindset. It caused us to lay away every heavy weight that just entangles us. Now we can really sit and we can listen to what says the Lord. I recommend that you get your pens and paper because I'm getting ready to break down some stuff. Now, it's not Coach D. It's what God has for us. I have totally died to self, and I'm asking the Spirit of God to come and give us what he would have for us on tonight. This word is just as much for me as it is for you that's listening in on tonight. I tell you, I'm ready to heal some old wounds. And sometimes we don't even know we have old wounds, but we'll know because of our actions. Have you just had this a certain action that you do, and I don't care how much you repent, I don't care how much you just cry before the Lord, you find yourself doing the same action, and you're like, why? Why do I keep going back? Why do I keep doing this same thing? Why? And we just keep doing it. Well, what God revealed to me is that we have wounds. We have wounds, and there's a healing process for wounds. You don't just get wounded, and then all of a sudden you heal. There's stages of wounds. So, see, what God does for me is he takes me through the natural, because spiritual first, natural second. But if I could understand it in the natural, through my natural mind, then he could show me spiritually how that correlates. So I'm going to take you through the natural stages of healing. And once we can begin to understand the natural stages, then I'm going to show you spiritually how that connects, how we can begin to heal these wounds. We're not talking about natural wounds here, you know, but I'm going to break down the natural. We're talking about spiritual wounds. We're talking about the carnal mind. We're talking about the emotions. I'm sorry, we're talking about the soul, the emotions. You know, we're emotionally and mentally where we're wounded by something that was done to us or something that we did that impacted us. Things that have left us scarred, and we don't have to continue to be oozing, because if you're still responding from a wound of the past, most likely that wound is infected. That wound, and we know in the natural, and I'm going to give you the natural because I want you to get a visual. I want you to get a visual of what we're talking about on tonight. See, in the natural, when you get a cut, the indicator that that's infected is pus, redness, swelling. Sometimes you'll get a stench. There's a smell sometimes that comes with an infection. We could see it. I want you to visualize that. Visualize an open cut that is pus and it's red and it's oozing. Visualize that, because that's in the natural what an infected wound does. But in the spiritual, the indicators of an infected wound is bitterness, anger, hostility, rebellion. These are some of the indicators of a spiritual infected wound. And so let's get into this. Get your pens and papers and let's get ready. I believe that if you just stay with this tonight, that this is a word from God to his people, because we are not fulfilling kingdom assignments effectively. And we cannot fulfill them effectively if we have wounds that are infected. We got to get healed. We got to get whole so that we could walk in the assignments that God has given us, and we could be effective in it. You know, his word tells us that we're supposed to be able to see the people healed. We're supposed to see miracles and wonders. We're supposed to be as the body. We're supposed to be able to speak some stuff in its instant manifestation of it. So we can't do that if we're walking around wounded. And I believe the church is wounded. We are the church. I am the church. And so let's get to this right now on tonight. And we're going to start with, let's first understand what a wound is. Wound has many definitions, of course, but I'm going to focus on the mental or emotional hurt or blow. So a wound could be a mental or emotional hurt or blow, an injury to living tissue, and it could be caused again by a blow or other impacts, an injury to an organism. And we are an organism. Organisms are capable of reproduction, growth, development, maintenance, and some degree of response to stimuli. So we are humans and we are organisms. And so we're going to talk about the impact, the injury to us. There are four main stages to healing, the healing process. Now remember, I'm starting in the natural. So don't get too bored with the natural, because you're going to see where this ties in spiritually. So we're going to start with the different stages. And I'm just giving you a basis because I really want you to understand. It's okay that you are where you are right now. It's okay, because you're calling into this show, and tonight wasn't just happenstance. You calling on this show tonight wasn't just because somebody forced you to call in. God knew from the foundation of the earth that you would be calling in here on this show on tonight. He knew that he was going to have a word for you on tonight. He knew that tonight was going to be the night that you were going to get healed of your wounds. He knew that your wounds were going to be healed and you were going to be made whole again. And so he knew that. So I'm just saying, stay in there, because oftentimes we miss our blessing and we miss what God has for us because we get impatient, we get bored. How many of us go to church and our mind is all over the place? We can't even get the word of God. We selectively attend. We hear certain key words and then we like, hallelujah. But the whole time we're texting, we're thinking about the roast in the oven at home. We're thinking about maybe who we're supposed to meet for brunch. We're thinking about the bill we have to pay. We're thinking about the vacation coming up. We got all these thoughts that's going on in our mind, and we're not focusedly attending on the word that God has going forth. And so we leave church, and we're still wounded. Our wounds are more infected than they ever been because we won't pay attention. So tonight, I'm just praying that you will pay attention and that you will be able to get what God has for you, because he has something for each one of us. So we're going to talk about the first stage. And the first stage of a wound healing is called hemostasis. Now, this is a process which causes bleeding to stop. Now, this is a natural. Remember, this is a natural. But this is a process initially. When you first get hurt, that's the first stage of healing. It's hemostasis. Your blood begins to clot. And that clotting, it helps to keep the blood in the damaged vessel. You don't want all the blood to go out of that vessel, because the vessel dies. So that's the first stage. And we often hear about people when that stage doesn't properly take place, sometimes people hemorrhage. So you have hemostasis, which causes the blood to clot and keep it where it's supposed to be, and then you have hemorrhaging. That's when it doesn't do that. Some of us is walking around spiritually hemorrhaging. We got wounded in our past. Something happened as a child. It was traumatic. We never processed. We never healed from that. We never even went through the first stage of hemostasis. we just got wounded. What does that look like? That looks like something that happened as a child, and I'm going to use something traumatic. Molestation. I use that, but that's real, and we see it, and it happens in great numbers. And so you take a child at 5 years old that's getting molested. They're being wounded. And if they don't have the proper tools, the proper love, the proper nurturing, the proper care to help them heal through that, they may be hemorrhaging. They're hemorrhaging. And that hemorrhaging may result in you seeing somebody down the line 20 years later that have a drug addiction, or somebody that's an alcoholic, or somebody that's inflicting the same pain that was inflicted on them onto others. We see it, pedophiles. You know, we want to say, oh, that person's nasty, or that person's crazy. But what we don't realize is, no, that person just didn't go through the first stage of healing. They did not go through the homeostasis. They didn't have the tools, the resources. They just didn't have what they needed to cause that first stage of healing. So now we realize that some of us may be walking around. You may have some wounds that you just never even started the healing process in. Now some of us started the healing process. So we went through that first process, so we're not dying. You know, that wound didn't cause us to die, because some people die in their wounds. We see it all the time. You cut on the TV and you hear about a kid whose parent beat them to death. Or you hear about a kid that, you know, just different things. So, again, that first stage of healing didn't take place. Now, the second stage is called inflammatory. This is tending to excite. Inflammatory means tending to excite. And I'm going to take it a step further. Excite anger, hostility, disorder, rebellion. That's the second stage of healing. So now you already went through the first stage and you didn't die in the first stage. You know, immediately the natural and the spiritual begin to try to work on your behalf, called grace, begin to work on your behalf. It kept you alive. It kept you alive. That's a good thing. Even though the pain is still there, that's a good thing. You're alive. You're alive, and you still have a chance to be able to heal from that thing. Maybe not right away. Some people heal right away. Sometimes right away, somebody got, you know, they was able to speak what happened to them. They got into the proper counseling. They were able to go through the proper process to begin the healing process, and it didn't take long. They were able to go through all four stages. So inflammatory is the next stage. And oftentimes when we get a wound, we first see the cut open, you see the blood begin, that blood will start coming, and then all of a sudden it'll stop and it begins to trickle out. That means the hemostasis is operating correctly. It's starting to clot the blood to make sure you don't bleed to death. And so now you'll start noticing the inflammatory, which, believe it or not, we've been taught and we know that inflammation, we think that inflammation is a bad thing. Inflammation is the indicator that there's something else going on, but inflammation is the protection of the bad thing. Inflammation is the protection of the bad thing. So when we have inflammation in our bodies, believe it or not, yes, we have inflammation and we see outwardly signs of inflammation, but the inflammation is the indicator that there's something else going on. Inflammation happens to protect us. It happens to when I think about the definition to excite, to anger, hostility, what I think about is inflammation becomes like your bodyguard when this foreign thing, this injury, this infection, whatever this thing is coming in to attack your body. If you could kind of think of guards that kind of like at the palace, and they come side by side and they stand strong to protect the queen. Inflammation is kind of that for our bodies. And so from a spiritual standpoint, what is it that a person goes through that causes the anger, hostility? So if they went through something that wounded them, that impacted them, that was a negative, then we will possibly see this kind of behavior coming out of them. The second stage of healing is the behavior, it's the anger, the hostility. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that is when that's where we stay. And anybody know that if your body remains in the state of inflammation because you won't go get the problem fixed, then that can lead to death. We know that can lead to death. Okay? So that's the second stage of the healing process. The third stage is proliferation, and that is the growth, the rapid growth of cells, what we see as scabs. So once you've seen the openness of the wound, you see the blood, and I'm just going through this quickly because I want you to get the sense of it. You see the blood begins to clot. Okay, that's good. That's the first stage. The second stage is the inflammation. That's the redness and the swelling that you begin to see around the wound area. So that's the second stage. That's not nothing to be alarmed about. It's just saying, hey, it's going through the stages, the process of healing. And so now we get to the third stage, and the third stage is proliferation. That's the rapid growth of production of cells. So in other words, your body is amazing. God created us amazing that our bodies begin to heal themselves. It begins to build new cells, and it begins to build new tissues in it, and it goes through all these processes to begin to heal itself. You heard people say that the body can heal itself naturally. If you're going through illnesses, diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever those things are, the body has the ability. God created us with the ability to heal ourselves. But it don't just heal itself. It's just not going to just heal itself if you're not doing the things that you need to do. So in other words, the body not going to heal itself if you're having a double chili cheeseburger every day. It's not built that way because it has something foreign that's coming in that's attacking against the natural ability to heal. So that's why when you go to your doctors or you go to a holistic food store, you talk to someone that's into nutrition, they start telling you the first thing we got to do is change our eating habits. Change our eating habits. Then we have to take it the next step further and we have to begin to exercise. You know, exercise could just be movement, walking. You know, taking brisk walks. We have to begin to change that so we could begin to see our body begin to heal itself. Amen? So proliferation, the body's ability to renew, to redo. And we see that again in the natural, the scabbing process. And scabs act like a barrier. You know, if you think about a scab over a wound, you can see scabs and underneath the wound could still not be healed. You could still have issues. I think that's where most of us are. I believe that that's where most of us are with certain wounds in our lives. I believe that we go through, and especially if we're believers, we go through and we do what we think we're supposed to do because we're believers. This is the right thing to do. So what we do is we go through life and we'll say, you know, we'll speak the scripture, we'll speak the word, we go to church, we put on our cute outfits, we make our hair cute, and we do all these cute things. And we look okay from the outside, and we could act okay, and then all of a sudden something happened, and you're wondering what happened. I'm not calling no names, I'm not going to call names, but I'm just going to give you some scenarios so you can see. It's oftentimes we see it in leadership, and why we see it in leadership, we see it in everybody because leaders are just people. So we see it in people, period. But it's easy to call it out. It's easy to make it okay. It's easy to just kind of overlook it when it happens in the layman. What's the layman? The churchgoers. You know, the churchgoer, you could see them at the club smoking a cigarette, doing the nasty dance, and you just say, oh, did you see Martha at the church, and she was doing her thing, but she'll be at church on Sunday. It's no big deal. Martha's just a sinner. But then if you take minister such and such or pastor such and such or bishop such and such because they have stepped up to a higher calling and there's a higher expectation on them, if you see them doing something out of character, it turns into a big thing. Anyway, the wounds. I'm going back to the wounds. So oftentimes what you can see is somebody that is, let's just use a minister, for example, and they're a minister and they're singing the gospel and they're preaching the gospel and they're doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you see them on one of their bad days. they went unconscious. Because that's all it takes. It only takes a minute to go unconscious. 1 minute to go unconscious will cause you to do something that is totally against your character. So the first thing that happens is they go unconscious. They do something out of character, like go get drunk. Let's keep it real. Because we know that people in church, we know that believers, we know that Christians, you got Christians that drink. It's nothing wrong with drinking. But there's something wrong with being drunk, because that's a sin. But then you'll see them drunk. And the next thing you know, they drag from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum because you've seen them drunk. And the first thing you say, uh-huh, I knew it. She said she was a Christian. Uh-huh, I knew it. I knew she wasn't really a Christian. And you got people running around that won't go to church no more because they seen something that happened. And they'll go, and because they don't want to act right anyway, they'll blame that church hurt. And they'll never come back to church because they say this is what happened. We're going to talk about that today, also today. But what we're talking about is wounds. People have wounds, and I don't care what title people operate in. If they don't take the necessary processes to heal those wounds, you will see those wounds. You will see that scab eventually fall off. How many of us have had a wound that scabbed up, and we brushed up against something, and that scab came off? What happened? Exactly. You had to go back through all the way back to hemostasis. You had to go back to the whole process all over again just to get to stage 3 of the scabbing, the new cells, the new everything regrowing. You had to get back to that because it wasn't completely healed. And most of us is walking around and we're not completely healed. We've only gotten into the scabbing process. And the scabbing process, if you don't allow it to go to the next stage, see, there's 4 stages. I've only got to 3. And if we don't get to the 4th stage, we're not whole. We're not healed. We're stuck in one of these first three stages. And I believe that most of us is in the 3rd stage. We just got the scab. And because we got the scab, we could put on clothes and stuff, and no blood to get on our clothes, no pus to get on our clothes in most cases, because the scab is protecting it. But still up under there is not completely healed. And that's why it's so easy for it to be ticked off. It's so easy for somebody to step on your feet. It's so easy for us not to respond like Jesus. It's easier for us to turn around and snap at somebody, cuss somebody out, be mad, hold on to anger, because we still have these unhealed wounds. And we stay there. We don't know how to, most of us don't even know how to move forward. Tonight is a perfect night because most of us didn't even know that we was just walking around with a scab that we never allowed to heal all the way. And God, by his grace, said, guess what? Tonight, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to use Coach D because I've been working on her and her scab. I've been working on her oozing all over the place. And just because she's oozing don't mean she's not my child. Just because he's oozing don't mean he's not my child. But it does mean that they need that there's some healing still to go in certain areas. Certain wounds are not healed. So I'm going to talk to her, and then I'm hoping that she'll be obedient to speak and be transparent about what I'm saying to her so that she can say it to others and that others don't have to continue to go around oozing. See, that's kingdom assignment. And when we decide that we can't walk in what God's called us to do because we oozing, and then we don't even want to get healed, we out of order. It's called rebellion. It stands stuck in stage 3, proliferation. And it's okay initially, but if you stay in a place I'm sorry, it's stage 2, inflammatory. It's okay initially, but if you stay in a sense of anger, you know the word of God says, be angry and sin not. When you stay in inflammatory, you in sin. Because now that anger, you're hostile, you're disorder, you're in rebellion, you're not even doing anything that you're supposed to be doing as it pertains to what God created you to do. He created us for kingdom assignment. It was never about us coming to this earth to make everything about us. It's acceptable as a baby because we have to learn that it ain't about us. A baby thinks it's all about them. Wham, wham, I need a bottle. Wham, wham, I need to be changed. And they just cry for everything they need, and everything's about them. Toddlers, everything is about them. This is my toy. This is me. Me, 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 me. And that's okay in that stage, but you come to another stage. If you still operate like that and you're 12, there's an issue. And we see it in kids. If you see a 12-year-old still sucking on a pacifier, then you're going to automatically say there's an issue there. There's a learning disorder. There's a physical defect. There's something wrong if a 12-year-old is sucking a pacifier. Because at 12 years old, they're supposed to be to another stage of maturity. So we talked about, again, homeostasis, stage 1, inflammatory, stage 2, proliferation, stage 3. Remember the scab. Now, you could have all three of those, but if you don't have number 4, maturation, if you don't have that, you're still walking around with wounds that simply have a scab on them. But the first time that scab is irritated and knocked off, you're going to go back to stage 1 again. You're going to have to start all over again. And maturation is the process of becoming completely developed mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the process of completely grown physically. There's stages. And so how you know that on a wound? Because if you have a wound and it went through the first stage, it went through the second stage, it went through the third stage, and when that scab fall off, there's nothing else under there. It becomes, in most cases, you don't even have a scar. And you barely knew that you had any injury to that area. That's how you know you healed. Because there's no signs of the injury. Hallelujah. There's no signs of the injury. How is that spiritually? Spiritually, you know that because guess what? If somebody came up and rubbed you the wrong way, it's not going to be your first response to cuss them out. If somebody come up and didn't do something you wanted them to do, your first response is not going to be have hurt feelings, to be angry. Those are all signs that you still just got scabs over unhealed wounds. Maturation says, perhaps this person didn't answer my call because they were busy. Perhaps they have something else to do. Because maturation realized that it ain't all about me. It's not all about me. It's the ability to let go of control. It's the ability to let go of control, and it's no longer Christ, it's no longer me and Christ, but it's Christ and me. Amen. Maturation is not a lot to talk about that. It's just simple, cut and dry. That's the last stage of the healing process, and many of us are not at that stage. We're striving towards it. And maybe some wounds, we have multiple wounds, and we're going to get more wounds as long as we're living in this earth. And maybe some wounds, we did go through the whole healing process. Some of us went through a healing process because, let's just say as a child, you stuck your hand on a fire on the stove. You didn't know no better. You got burnt. Did you ever stick your hand on the fire on the stove again? No, you matured. You went through the material. Ouch, I got burnt. Now I got a blister. I got to go through all this healing. And the end was the maturity that burn went away, the blistering went away, your skin, your regular skin came back, and you never did that thing again. How many of us have old wounds, something mama did, something daddy did? They told me I was too ugly. They told me I was too fat. They told me I'll never amount to nothing. I was just stupid. I was nothing. How many of us are still holding on to those wounds? Some of us 5, 30, 40, some of us 50 and 60 years ago, something was done that we're still holding on to. God wants to use us. He created us for his purpose. He said everything was created by him, for his good pleasure. You belong, the intent was is that you belong to him. And then when you said with your mouth that you received him, that you accepted him, that you confessed your sins, now you were paid with a price. It ain't about you. It ain't your thing. You can't do what you want to do. Because we belong to him. And he can't even, it's nothing different than you. Who would go buy a car that don't work? I mean, wouldn't it be, that might not be a good analogy, praise God. But just think of yourself going to buy a new car. And you put the keys in the engine and it don't go. It is not doing what it was purposed to do. And when we're not submitting to God, and when we're not practicing submitting to God, that don't mean we ain't gonna get it right. I seen a post and it just spoke to my heart because it talked about all these people of the Bible that were great men and women of the Bible. I mean, Jesus encountered millions and millions of people, but there was only so many people that made it on pages. The Johns and the Peters and the Marys. Those are the people that made it on page. But if you think about everybody that made it on page, David. These were people that had favor with God, but these were people that were screwed up. They had paths. I mean, they had paths. They had, they didn't always make the right decision. They, some of them were, Elijah, the prophet, he was suicidal. David was an adulterer. He killed a man. Paul was a murderer. He was persecuting the Christians. Mary was a prostitute. Why am I saying this? I'm not saying, oh, yeah, just go be a prostitute because Mary was one. What I'm saying is that God took ordinary people and did amazing things with them. We are ordinary people. And only thing that what all those people had in common is that they said yes to God. And they allowed God, this sounds like a cute cliche, but it's real. And the reality of it is that God don't call the qualified. He qualified the call. So once he calls you, he qualifies you. And so if you stay in life still saying, well, you know what, I'm not ready to serve God yet, or I'm not ready to change my lifestyle, so I'm just going to sit back and maybe by the time I get 60, 70, or 80, then I'll slow down, you may not make it to 60, 70, 80. And all this time, I don't care if you make it to 90, all this time before 90, you're still in rebellion. You're still in sin. So we have to. And a lot of us can't move forward because we have open wounds. And we're somewhere in the first three stages of being healed. Some of us are in the first three stages. Some of us are stuck in stage one. Some of us are stuck in stage three. But we can't be stuck in any of that for it to be healed. We got to make it to stage four. We got to mature out of our nonsense. We got to heal. We got to realize that, guess what? I'm not what happened to me at three. That wasn't my issue. That was somebody else's issue. It had nothing to do with me. That's not my problem. So why am I allowing somebody else's problem to follow me all the way through my life and I continuously make decisions based on what somebody else did to me at three and I'm still making decisions at 30? I got to let that pain go because I can't walk in my purpose. I can't walk in my predestination if I'm going to stay stuck there. They said the definition of insanity is holding on to the past in the now. I don't I don't want to be insane no more. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be insane anymore. I want to be walking in my in the fullness of what God created me to walk in. I want to be everything that he say I am. When he say I'm a mighty woman of God, that's what I want to be. And when he say he wants me to operate in the fruits of the Spirit, that's what I want to do. I don't want to be easily angered. I don't want somebody to come knock my scab off and it's still oozing underneath. A matter of fact, I don't even want to have a scab. I want to get to the maturity that I don't even have a scab. You could look at me and you could barely even tell that anything was there. And there's nothing wrong with having a scar. A scar just means you've been through some stuff. You've been through. You're not still in it. Amen. Now, what I want to do since I've done that, we're coming towards the end. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I want to do, because now I gave you the natural and I tied it into the spiritual, but I want to give you some word. Because anything outside the word is just a matter of opinion. Amen. And Coach V could get into some opinions. I'm just giving you my own life experiences. I'm telling you, I'm transparent. I got struggles at times. There are some areas of my life that have wounds that's still stuck in stage 3. Still got scabs. And again, it don't take a whole lot to irritate a scab. Scabs, if you brush up against a scab that's not healed, it's going to ooze. I don't want to ooze no more. I don't want to ooze no more. I want to be at peace. I want to be no longer me and Christ, but I want it to be Christ in me. No, the word of God says no longer I live, but Christ live in me. That's where I want to be at. I don't want to be concerned about nobody else's issues as it pertains to it affecting me. The way I want somebody's issues to affect me is me to be able to minister to them in their issues to help them become whole. Amen. So let's go with, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to close it out. I want to give you these scriptures because I think it's important. The first one I want to read through is Matthew chapter 4, and it's going to be verses 23 through 25, because the reason I want to read this to you is because we all walking around with some open wounds. And so what I want you to know is that Jesus heals the sick. A wound is a sickness. And he could heal us. And Matthew 4 tells us, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed. Woo! I'm going to say the demon-possessed now. Do what you need to do. But I want y'all to know we've had a level of mental illness that has blown out the roof. The statistics of mental illness is off the chain. Okay? It's real. But why? Why is that growing in leaps and bounds? It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And this is not to let nobody down because all of us got our stuff that we're dealing with. But I want to let you know, Jesus heals the sick. I don't care what your sickness is, what my sickness is. Jesus heals it. Because in 24 it says, news about him spread. So news about Jesus is spreading all over the earth. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, televangelism. You could turn to every channel, every other channel, and news about Jesus is spreading. Let me tell you, the enemy is mad, and he's releasing spirits on the earth that is affecting people in dire ways. So he said, it's spreading quick, and people are coming to him with various disease, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures, another spirit, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across Jordan followed him. In other words, Jesus is the healer. And if you ain't following Jesus, you're probably not going to get healed. He's the healer, and you got to follow him to get healed. Amen? Now, the next scripture is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Don't think the wounds will not come. Woo! As long as you're in this flesh, as long as you're in this carnality, on this earth, in this flesh, you're going to get wounded. That's not that you're not going to bypass that. And 1 Peter tells us that. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange." Why you think it's strange that you're going through some stuff? Why you think it's strange that you're getting wounded? Somebody's hurting your feelings. Somebody said something to you crazy. You know, you're getting angry. It says, you've been tested, although something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory in God's rest on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Again, following Jesus to get healed and committing ourselves to God. Will we be perfect? No. Will stuff not come up against us? Yes, it will come. Don't be surprised. But committing ourselves to God and continue to do good. Last one I'm going to do, and then we're going to close out. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the Word of God says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes. In other words, keep your attention, your eyes stayed on Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter, or in some versions it says the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, if Jesus had to go through it, he went through it. He went through a crucifixion. He went through a straight-out murder. He was murdered for us. And now that he died, was buried, and rose again, and sitting at the right hand of the throne, he's still getting cruel, because every time we act out, the people are sinning. People don't want to turn around. They don't want to acknowledge him. That has to hurt. That has to hurt constantly. And it says it here. So he says that we can remember what he did for us and remember what he still go through when people, sinners, don't want to act right. They don't want to turn over. They don't want to repent. He says, remember that so that we won't grow weary and lose heart, so that we don't get overwhelmed and give up thinking that, you know, why should I just keep doing this? That's why you should keep doing it. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So you struggling against some stuff, hard stuff. But he said, you ain't resisted enough to the point of shedding blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. So when the Lord corrects you, don't turn away from him. Don't give in to condemnation and run away from God. Be true to your convictions. When he's rebuking you, be true to that conviction. Repent. Acknowledge, yes, I've blown it, Father. I blew it. I apologize for having a bad attitude. I apologize for not watching my tongue. I apologize. Repent and be willing to walk away from that thing. And receive your correction, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So the reason you're being chastening, the reason you're being disciplined is because you're his son. He loves you, and he's correcting you. Don't run from that. Endure hardship of discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You know, oftentimes you see in extended families where they use the term step. We never use step in our family. You know, there is no step-sister, step-brother, step-parent. But some families do. And you already see a distinction because as that step-parent come into the household, the natural parent is already laying down the rules of what they can't do to their children. So he's saying, then you're not legitimate. So if he's not correcting you, you may not be his son or his daughter. Not true, sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Righteousness, let's say if we wanted to simplify that, right choices. When we've been disciplined correctly, we're going to make right choices. Amen? When we discipline our children and we keep them on track and we give them the laws and the rules and the regulations and we discipline them, we're disciplining them for them to make right choices, to be righteous, so that they can have peace. And be trained well. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take a moment real quick. If you're listening in on tonight's show, if you have a question or comment, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. I pray that something was said. I believe by faith that not one person is going to leave here tonight without something. I believe that there was a healing tonight on what was said, what God had to say to us. He don't want us to be wounded. He don't want us to be living in our woundedness, should I say. He wants us to go through the 4 stages of healing. He wants us to process through the pain. He wants us to be able to walk effectively in our assignments, our kingdom assignments that he's given us. He wants us to be obedient. And you can't be obedient when you're wounded, when you're in pain. It's hard to be obedient. It's hard to stay on track. Why? Because every time you're on track and you're doing good, all you got to do is brush up against something by accident or something will brush up against you. And guess what? You're in pain all over again. All over again. Let's get those wounds healed, so that we can move forward in what God's called us to do. Again, if there's no one that has any questions or comments about tonight's show, then we're going to close on tonight. I want to thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain, and we look forward to you tuning in next week as we continue to bring you words to help you process through the pain, pursue purpose, and begin to partake in the promises that God has for your life. Go, like Jesus said, every time he healed, we all know what he would say. Go and sin no more. Have a good evening. Know that you are loved and appreciated.